time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the conversation of keeping anger on a leash. You know, I'm someone personally who myself can, I try to be even-tempered, but can get a little hot-headed at times, so maybe what are some ideas to which we could put some ice on the situation to cool our hot heads? Jeff?
Oh boy. So, do you remember Mount St. Helen when it blew? Volcano was in here in the States, wasn't it? I think it was, where it wiped. I mean, it's just an unbelievable explosion. And I can't say what it was like. It was like one of those things that go boom. You can't say those words on the internet anymore. But that's kind of what I guess is living inside us all. And any one of us put in the right or wrong situation, you pick your hot button issue, and we are all a little mini or major Mount St. Helen. And a volcano that, waiting to erupt.
We call that being triggered in the modern day.
Yes, we do. How do you stop from allowing that explosion to occur? That's a tough one.
I think what's always best is when somebody's really fired up and going, and somebody comes in and they're like, "Hey, sir, could you just calm down? Just calm down."
That movie that you
usually
watch,
seems to help people out.
It just sets you off. That movie, Anger Management, with Adam Sandler. That's where that very scene occurs in that movie. You don't have to watch the movie; you just watch the trailer. It's in there, but
and the person just flips out. Oh my every gosh! Time.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if it's that it's getting worse today, or that we just have more cameras today to catch it. But it seems like people lose it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd have to probably go with the technology deal. Like you said, there's so many cameras now that people are. I mean, we're always on camera, pretty much.
I think we would be terrified to find out how often we are being recorded. It's just part of life now.
We have 1,000 footages of you at Walmart.
Yeah, we saw you flip out of those sticker prices.
I don't even remember going to Walmart. You were there last Tuesday.
No, I know for me, it's almost like a switch. Like you kind of emotionally cut yourself off where it's like you can feel your blood pressure rising. Someone says something, whether it's a personal attack or it's an issue that you have strong feelings about, and you have already arrived at the destination of your own views, and you're kind of closed off. You're not really looking to negotiate,
entertain some new
any
ideas,
any kind of other view, and you know, you kind of got to wall yourself off to keep that dog on the leash, right?
Well, and a lot of times if you find yourself getting angry about something, isn't it usually due to what you just said? I mean, like we said, it's called triggered because it's probably something that triggers you in one way or another, whether it's an issue you've never found closure in from your own personal experience, or maybe, like you just said, it's something you feel passionately convicted about. So when somebody has a differing opinion about that, it triggers that same raw emotional response.
Well, it's so hard because anger is one of those things that it's not just a one trigger event. Like there's so many, because we're all individuals. For some, it could be pride. Someone says something to you, or you know, okay, here's an example. It's so silly, but you're a guy, you know, being competitive. And it's so dumb when I was in my younger years, got mad because I'm going down the interstate and I'm in the wrong lane. And I kind of lose track that I'm in the left lane. I'm sorry. I admit it. It's happened to me. Someone gets mad and pulls up next to you and just flies around you on the right side, the non-passing lane.
Flipping you off,
yeah,
laying on their
horn. Like, oh, yeah? So then I'll drive 10 miles an hour faster to make him speed up to go even faster around me. You know, it's like, why do you do that? It's so dumb because you're competitive. But it's a form of anger. Right. And my point is that it's not just emotionally sensitive issues. It's like an attack on your pride or something you love. Like people get upset about sports teams. Don't be picking on my sports team. You know, and they're ready to go to blows over a sports team. And who's the best? Can you identify with that?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Absolutely.
The thing is that human beings are so simple and yet complex we're simply set off, but the reasons that set us off are so vast. But the net result looks the same, total meltdown, you know?
Well, and when we have that anger, even if we find a way to, you know, harbor the anger and keep it within on things that set us off, how often then, if you're carrying that around with you all day, it feels dangerous. Pretty heavy to me.
Yeah, that's
kind of seems to ruin the rest of your day per se, rather than just your moment.
Yeah, I think the leash analogy there is that's where you're showing it has to be vented somewhere in a healthy way. Like eventually that dog's got to be released, but it's got to be done in a, okay, I'll put it this way. I've got a dog. And the older she gets, the more distrusting she becomes of different people and strangers in particular. The time to let her run free is not when there's a stranger. You know what I mean? But when there's nobody around, we can turn her loose in the backyard and let her run off some of that energy in a positive way.
Sure. And I kind of think we use, you know, as humans anyway, things like sporting events or like, you know, football and whatnot, I think kind of are ways to channel that same energy.
Yeah. You try and find a constructive way.
But how many, you know, in the path of looking through constructive ways to channel that energy, how many deconstructive roadblocks are there?
Oh, gosh.
Because yeah. I found my way to, I know we've talked about that before, but I found my way to, and sometimes I still use some of those destructive pathways. And, you know, like we were just talking about, you said after Noah, you know, is done with the flood, he plants a vineyard and
gets drunk.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, we all still do use those destructive pathways at times, but that's just that. They are that. They're empty. They're ultimately empty. So where do we find that channeling of consistency or constant?
Using, again, dogs and leashes, like there's bloodhounds. And the reason why bloodhounds are used for tracking is because it's hard to get them off track, right? Like they're, once they've locked in on a scent,
they smell the blood,
they stay on it.
They're going for it.
They're staying on it. In a negative way, it's almost like human beings getting these neuro ruts that it's very hard to get us off of. And we're talking about destructive behavior. It's not that we can't see the benefit of not doing this. It's getting us to not do it,
yeah.
Right? Because we so easily fall back into what we've always known.
To bring another animal into reference, I think it's almost like a hamster getting off of the wheel. You could see like, well, if I get off the wheel, all these benefits are over here, but I can't stop turning on it.
Yeah, as long as I'm running on this wheel, I can't go eat. I can't go hang out with my hamster friends. I can't get some water and I'm winded, you know, but I just love to run on this wheel. I don't know. It goes nowhere, but,
mm-hmm. But I keep doing it over and over. Exactly.
Yeah. And, there's, I guess they call that our fallen side, right? There, we're all predisposed to sin and, any category, pick one. And anger is one that's common to us all. Yeah. I don't know that there's a good answer on that. How do you, conscious choice for sure. I think you have to be intentional. You're not going to accidentally get it right.
That's fair.
You know, so it's going to be conscious discipline and choice that you say, you know what, I'm done with this.
I think, and just having the acknowledgement of realizing when you're angry and to know, to take a step back in that moment. Why am I angry? What's really, you know, take an assessment of what's going on in the situation versus I can, you know, speak for myself here and just say that I've acted out of the simple emotion of anger many times without taking that assessment and it never ends well.
I think that works when we feel safe and we're willing to be honest, right? And that's, I think the key is whether you are able to be honest with yourself and kind of talk to yourself in third person, that little self-talk,
mm-hmm.
or you're surrounded by people that you know anything they say to you, even if it hurts, it's always for your betterment.
Sure.
Right?
Or at least what they believe is, you know, what they think's the best thing for you.
That's just it. You know, and that's why you trust yourself. You know yourself that you want what's best for you. And that really works well when you have those kind of people around you. Because again, it's like a physician. We all go to the doctor. We hate going, but we go to the doctor when something's wrong, and we know there's a strong possibility when something's wrong, he's going to hurt us for the purpose to help us, right? And the key is to try and surround yourself with people that you have that level of trust, that anything they say or do, you know, is for your net.
For your best benefit. Outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that in general. And I think that's what friends are for, right?
Well, friends, and I'll be very specific, that's what the church is for. We are supposed to be here not to throw stones at those who fall down, but we're here to pick each other up.
Sure.
All the while realizing the day's going to come when that same person's going to help me get back up because I fell down.
Sure. I was going to say, I should say friends and family, and then that always ties into the, like, the family of God, per se. And yeah. You're right. The church should be one giant family of people helping each other in need.
I think an honesty check for us, I know it's going to make some people angry, is I think that is something I'm talking to my Christian brothers and sisters now. We need to go back and rethink, because I would argue we have kind of veered from that model that we've been given and instead gone to more like, there's no egg in my eye. There's no sin in my background. I don't struggle with anything. And church has become more of a performance than it has been a place where we encourage one another and cheer each other along.
Right. More of a, I'm the valedictorian of the class persona rather than a, we're all one.
Yeah, like we're trying to earn those little weird high school places in the yearbook, you know, best whatever.
Accolades and achievements.
Yeah, and it's so silly because we try and put up these facades that I don't struggle, I don't have problems, my family's perfect, and none of that's true.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep, not for me anyways.
And but no, listen, if you think you don't struggle with anger, you're a fool. You really are. You know, there's a passage in Corinthians that we talked about this past week on Sunday. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. And it says something to the effect of, if you think you stand firm, be careful lest you fall. And the point the Apostle Paul is making is this. You're most in danger when you think it can't happen to you.
And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because when you think everything is good, you're complacent.
Yeah.
Your
guard's down.
Usually overly confident.
Yeah.
You believe, in essence, you know, metaphorically speaking, the world's in your hands.
I'm beyond this.
Yep. you're above it.
I've transcended this.
And I almost think it's almost a, when we feel as though we are gods is when usually that fall in our lives seems to happen.
Yeah. What's that? Get off your high horse, you know, kind of thing. And because the higher you are, the harder you fall.
The harder you fall, right. Well, when there's no, you know, we're not implementing any self-humbling. And I've been that same, you know, you get up there on the ladder pretty good and feeling good. Oh yeah, I've got this all figured out. And all of a sudden the ladder's gone and you're back on the ground again.
In the book of James, it says that, you know, again, it's a paraphrase, but that, you know, it's okay to be angry, but don't sin in your anger. And that's the key thing, is that anger, like love, there's an appropriate place. It has a place. Anger used correctly can be an incredible motivator. The problem is, because of our sinful nature, we're more apt to be destructive with it.
Sure. And if it's not, I mean, if I don't think if we don't properly deal with it or channel it in the right ways, I also think it's an overbearing weight that can be carried. Something that then you find yourself, you know, almost miserable or sometimes more angry than you are happy.
I know we're going long on this one, but anger can be that thing that motivates you to implement a change you otherwise were afraid to engage. Does that make sense?
Turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do. To use an analogy that nobody wants to talk about, politics is one of those things where you see something happening in your world, and so you seek to implement a policy. You're willing to speak out and do things you otherwise would be too timid to do because you're angry and upset. Mm-hmm. But you channel it in a positive way to bring about a positive change.
That makes good sense.
Yeah, so.
What did I say? Be the change you want to see?
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
That doesn't have much to do with anger, but it's a good idea to live by anyways.
Absolutely.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.
Blindly Obvious.